Sebastian Gorka, in his resignation letter to the president, wrote this about the Afghanistan speech. The fact that those who drafted and approved the speech removed any mention of radical Islam or radical Islamic terrorism proves that a crucial element of your presidential campaign has been lost. Is Gorka right?
No, I think he's completely wrong, Chris, and I think it shows a lack of understanding of the president's broader policy when it comes to protecting Americans at home and abroad from all acts of terrorism.
Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, was on with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday and made quite a bit of news, not just reacting to Sebastian Gorka's departure from the White House, but also a conversation they had about race and some of the language that President Trump has used post-Charlottesville, and we'll talk about that as well. But joining us now, an old friend of the program and mine, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, military and intelligence analyst, former deputy assistant to the president, who exited the White House on Friday. Dr. Gorka, Sebastian, how are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm very well. Greetings, Laura.
Let's talk about your departure. The White House came out and said, basically, with not so many words, that you were let go. You didn't resign. There was some pushback from within about your resignation letter. You heard the Tillerson comments that you just don't know what you're talking about. The Make America Great agenda is underway, and it's being pursued, and this is just sour grapes. What's your response to that?
Look, it's saddening to see a low-level official in an anonymous email misrepresent herself and counter my narrative. We expect that from the left. I mean, that's kind of a politico move. But to have a lowly official in the comm shop basically lie about how I left the White House, that's disappointing. That's disturbing. The fact that the matter, as was reported in the Federalist and elsewhere, after the Afghan speech, I decided it's time to resign and to support the president from the outside more effectively. I told General Kelly, I requested a meeting with him, and I informed him both over the phone and by email on Friday that as of that day, I am resigning. Now, those are the facts of the matter. When it comes to Rex's statement, I'm a little confused. I'd love to have a little bit of clarification. To say that the speech on Afghanistan is a good speech because there is a broader comprehensive counterterrorism policy, I don't understand. Are there a lot of animal rights terrorists or Antifa terrorists or white supremacist terrorists running around the hills of Tora Bora or the Hindu Kush? If there are, Rex Tillerson knows more than every terrorist expert in the world. The problem with Afghanistan, the reason we went to Afghanistan is because 3,000 Americans were killed by radical Islamic jihadists in New York, in Washington, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That's the bottom line. That's why we went. The fact that the president's message is being quite diluted by those left inside the building should be of concern to all people who want to make America great again.
Well, you know, I'm completely with you on this Afghanistan nightmare. I mean, I'm an economic nationalist, a populist. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a Reagan conservative, worked in the Reagan administration. And, you know, I think all administrations, when they start getting their feet wet, getting into the political machinations of Washington, they make mistakes. And so there are definitely things that you look back and say, oh, well, we would have done that differently, or would have rolled this one thing out differently, wouldn't have trusted McConnell to do this. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can look back and say, yeah, do this, that, and the other thing differently. But to push the agenda that President Trump ran on successfully, from your vantage point, what is accomplished by writing the resignation letter that you did? Because for a lot of people, it was, I think they saw it and they're like, demoralized. The Make America Great agenda is dead, basically. That's demoralizing to people. So what do you accomplish?
I find it very strange that a lot of people have left this administration and not said why they've left. I find it so peculiar.
That's
a
good point.
I'm a politically...
point. It's kind of just honest. This is what happened. I didn't like what was going, and
things
going down
isn't
the tubes.
I'm a politically appointed commissioned officer of the president. That's what I was. So, you know, I'm a deputy assistant. You know better than everyone, mm-hmm. anyone else. That's not just a government employee.
Big deal.
That's a political appointment.
Yep.
But no, it's just a political appointment. So I'm there to support his mission. And the president reached out to me on Saturday. He said he's going to stay on message and that he hopes I can support him from the outside. And yes, that's absolutely what I'm going to do. But not to explain to everybody out there, my supporters, my followers, the people who chose the MAGA agenda on November the 8th, I think that's not only ungentlemanly and unseemly, it's morally not right. I want people to understand we will win.
Mm-hmm.
The people in the White House who are there, who probably would have been there had Hillary won, they don't represent the MAGA agenda. And the message needs to be sent very clearly. Steve Bannon, myself, people like you, we wished for so long you'd come into the building. But you don't. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to support the president and make the things that he stands for happen, whether we're picking up a government paycheck or mm-hmm. whether we're a private citizen. And I wanted people to understand that.
There is some good stuff, really good stuff happening in one area, which is so important. And I know you and I have talked about it before, which is the issue of trade. Bob Lighthizer, Wilbur Ross, Stephen Vaughn. I don't think we've had a better group of people.
Peter Navarro.
Oh, gosh. This is just like the dream team. I mean, Navarro is more of an academic, but Lighthizer, I worked with him. I was a white-collar criminal defense attorney at Skadden Arps, and he was head of the trade group. So he was like a god at Skadden because he was deputy USTR for Reagan at the youngest age ever for any deputy USTR. The guy just knows every trade agreement by heart. He's unbelievable. So we have the best people in place in the trade arena. No doubt about it, than we've ever had, I think, in the history of the United States, including during the Reagan administration. They are doing good things there. And I want people to understand this. These individuals are working really hard to ensure that these trade deals are good for the American people and that the gaming of this system on a global level ends. To the extent that we can make it end, it ends under Trump. So there is good stuff happening there. And I don't think Gary Cohn... and I don't think others in the White House have been able to stop that. Am I correct in that? Because that is what my direct reporting tells me.
Look, I was put on those trade policy commission meetings. So I was there, and I before I left, I watched Ambassador Lighthizer. I watched Peter Navarro. You know, they are
stars.
Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And they will not give one inch. The fact that we pushed through this 1301 investigation.
Oh, it's great. China.
Massive. Massive.
I mean, no, huge. Never been done before. Never done before.
We will defeat ISIS. I mean, they will be, a sheet of glass soon.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger problem is China, the economic warfare that they are executing right now. As we are giving this interview, they're stealing millions, if not billions, worth of intellectual property from American interests and from the American taxpayer. So it's massive. But there is resistance. There is resistance inside the building. But the bottom line is the president now fully understands the severity of mm-hmm. the threat that is posed by China. And as long as we have people like yourself on the outside and people like Peter and the ambassador on the inside, that agenda will be realized.
Yeah, I think we're in really good shape on that, I have to say. It is extremely disturbing that Rex Tillerson is not able to articulate the ideological nightmare that is the Salafist, Wahhabist, Islamic poison throughout the Middle East. It has to be reformed from inside, no doubt about it. The Muslims have to, have their own reformation. But for our government not to be able to make the obvious points is, and then sending more troops into Afghanistan. But yet Pakistan continues to fund and fuel this stuff. And as far as I can tell, Rex Tillerson, he simply won't say that. Now, is there a diplomatic reason not to? Maybe you could explain that to me. But I think we have to be honest with what we're facing.
Look, I'm not here to attack individual cabinet members because I promised the president I would support him, and that's what he expects, and that's what I'm going to do. But the fact is Rex Tillerson and everybody in the administration who has a foreign policy or national security remit, I don't care what level they're at, just read the president's speeches from Riyadh and joint sessions of Congress. I know the men that wrote those speeches and the one lady that wrote one of those speeches. Mm-hmm. It could not be clearer. He didn't back down. He didn't dilute. He doubled down. He said in front of the Arab Muslim world, this is an evil ideology. And he said, quote, you must drive the extremists from your places of worship, from your communities. To Congress, he said, radical Islamic terrorism is the threat. Rex Tillerson and everybody in the administration should go back right now and read those texts. And if the people that are writing the next president's speech want to do something else, they need to remember why he was elected. Three reasons, Laura. You know as well as anybody. Three reasons.
The wall.
Number one.
Wall.
The wall. Unleash the American economy. Mm-hmm. And lastly, destroy the threat of radical Islamic terrorism. It's like Reagan. Reagan had three messages. Make Americans proud again. Fix the economy and defeat the Soviet Union. We have to stay on message because that's what the American people voted
for. I have a question for you, Sebastian. We're talking to Sebastian Gorka, a part of the White House, writing a blistering letter on Friday about his concerns about the Make America Great agenda, and people from within the administration who don't want it to succeed have a different, more globalist view of things. Who's safe that's left in the administration? I mean, our old producer, Julia Hahn, she's kind of a lower level person, but she was in there. And then you got Stephen Miller, and he's like writing speeches. But is there anyone left inside the White House other than Navarro, who's kind of one of the originals? I guess Kellyanne, but she's kind of off doing her media thing, I guess. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people left.
Yeah, this is a question. A friend of mine from inside the White House called me yesterday. And
you need a support group or something.
He has to reevaluate what he's going to do next, and we're talking about who he has to work with. And I thought for a second, who's left? And I came up with four names.
Four people.
Of people who, you know, at senior levels, right, who are associated with and are most vociferous in their support of the original agenda. If you look at the people who are fired in the National Security Council of late, that's a disturbing trend.
Those are good people.
You know, the fact is that, yeah, good people. The numbers are dwindling, but it doesn't matter because sooner or later the president will understand that the people associated with his victory have to be associated with him personally. I'm not saying I'm going to come back in. I'm not saying Steve's going to come back in. But sooner or later, you know, the American people identify.
I make a prediction that Bannon is coming back into the White House, by the way. I make a prediction that before 2020, Bannon's back. That's my view. Or he'll help run the campaign.
Look,
I mean, that whole thing. I mean, they're old buds. I mean, I don't know what went down there, but he's like part of the family. He's not really part of the family because they're never going to be fired.
David Bossie.
Yeah.
You know, these people don't disappear.
No.
These people don't disappear.
Hey,
and the president is loyal. If there's bureaucratic issues, okay, sometimes he gives into those. But on a personal level, he stays very loyal to his people.
No. Just for good fun, Sebastian, we had a moment on Sunday where Rex Tillerson distances himself from the president on the president's handling of Charlottesville. Let's listen.
And the president's values?
The president speaks for himself, Chris.
Are you separating yourself from that, sir?
I've made my own comments as to our values as well in a speech I gave to the State Department this past week.
In the State Department, he announced a new diversity hiring program that is far more liberal than anything I could ever imagine Hillary having done at Secretary of State.
No comment.
Well, that was you knew that was coming. Sebastian Gorka, we hope we see a lot of you, hear a lot from you. I know we will. As we enter a very precarious time for this country, we still have major positions that are left unfilled, confirmations not going through. We have a backlog of security clearance checks. As many as 700,000 people have not gone through a background check who work for the government in various capacities. All this has to be streamlined, and Mitch McConnell has to do it. Sebastian Gorka, thank you so much. We'll take a break. Close out this hour on The Laura Ingraham Show. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.